Hello, dear friends. Carol Side here with an important message from my heart. I'm sorry to say that when the founders of the homeschool movement died, their messages actually died with them. We don't want that to happen with Homeschool Made Simple. To that end, we have recently become a nonprofit ministry and are working hard to ensure this simple, inexpensive, and enjoyable method of educating our children will continue for many generations to come. If you and your family have benefited from our ministry, would you consider partnering with us financially? Our board has told us that monthly commitments are extremely helpful because they allow us to plan for the year. But one-time gifts here at the end of the year are also very much appreciated. As you pray together daily as a family, would you pray that the Lord would bless and guide us as we look to the future? And please visit our website, homeschoolmadesimple.net/donate, to partner with us in this next chapter. We can't wait to see what the Lord has in store. Blessings.
When the world is loud and frantic, unplugging your kids and taking time each day to rest requires intentionality. The spiritual disciplines of silence and solitude are easily run out of our lives by busyness and incessant noise. Today, we're talking about how to quiet our spirits in a very noisy world. You're listening to the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. This is a podcast to help you homeschool simply, inexpensively, and enjoyably. Carol Joy Side has been helping families homeschool for several decades through her literature-based approach to education. And I'm Rachel Winchester, a fellow homeschool mom using this method with my own three kids. In this episode from the archive, Carol and I discuss negative effects of screen use, being okay with boredom, and cultivating a love for reading. Before we get into the episode, I want to let you know about a free ebook we put together called 5 Essential Parts of a Great Education. You can download it at homeschoolmadesimple.net/ebook. Now let's get into the episode. Listen in. How do I wean my kids off of screens if they are glued to the TV and it's kind of just like, this isn't going anywhere? Mm-hmm. And maybe people don't realize that some of the things their children are doing are related to their screen use.
Like, yeah, good point.
You know, so maybe you could, maybe you could elaborate on maybe what are some signs of.
Yeah. I mean, I think obviously short attention spans, that television is designed with screen changes and, camera changes every few seconds. Your child's brain is having to adjust to something new to look at, and how it's training the brain to like jump, like playing jump rope, with their right. brain. Also, of course, the moral content. So it's two things. It's what it's doing to the brain and how the brain thinks, and being able to focus and think, for long periods of time on a subject. But it's also really robbing your children of their innocence and indoctrinating your children in a false gospel, the gospel of prosperity, the gospel of doing what comes naturally, not what's hard. We could go on and on. And I did a whole seminar on it called Taming the Media Lion, as you know, because the Lord called me to do that. And it was the hardest seminar I've ever done. And we have it on our web store because I don't ever want to have to do it again. So we captured it so that I don't have to teach on that and research it, because it was the most depressing time I've spent, preparing for a seminar in my 35 years of being a speaker. So, yes, if a child's watching screens, it's very hard to compete. Reading is work, and screens are like, it's like the difference between feeding a child or them feeding themselves. Reading is work, and it's screens create passivity, mental passivity. So if you remove the screen, then what you do is you create a culture of boredom. Boredom is our best friend. And I was just talking to Jake. I think that was in the podcast we did.
It was, yeah.
Yes, where he said, well, you know, Mom, I was bored. And so if I wasn't playing basketball, I was bored. So I read books. Exactly. Of course, he loved reading. He's trying to make himself not look quite so bookwormy because he wasn't. He was very normal. But the point was, there was nothing else to do if he wasn't outside with his friends or wasn't playing basketball. Mm-hmm. When he was home, like in a snowstorm, that's what he had to do. That's what. And so the only movies he was ever watched as a child was about the age of 13. We got a screen that had a VHS and no reception of any kind. And we had a friend that had an amazing library of classic black and white films. And as she upgraded with new technology, we would get all the VHSs, which I still have to this day. And when I moved, my son was like, are you keeping these? I said, are you kidding me? This is like a film school. And there's a young man that I mentored and did a classic film course with. And now he's in film school at Biola. Mm-hmm. And he said to me, the difference between his education and the other kids in the course is that I trained him in all the classic films and the directors, and you know, he knows them all by heart. And these other kids have only watched modern movies. And wow. So they didn't have that. So that's a whole nother issue. But it just occurred to me how important it is to watch classic films with your older children. And in my teen seminar in Begin with the End of Mind, I give a list of films that I want you to watch. I'm not a total Luddite.
Right.
But when your children are little, I don't ever want them near a screen. There's no reason, and there's a lot of reasons to avoid them.
Yeah.
So developing an attention span is key, and a screen will undermine your work. And when people say their children don't like to be read to, that's my first question. Tell me about the relationship with media.
Mm-hmm.
And it usually, you know, there's a link there.
Yeah. So do you have to be as drastic as Ben Carson's mom and throw it out
of it?
Get rid of it?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. In 12-step groups, they quote the AA big book that says, half measures avail nothing. And so what my families who I've worked with over the years tell me is it's much, much easier. And what they say in AA is abstinence is much easier than moderation.
Yeah.
So if there is no screen, you can't argue about it all day. Well, only an hour. Can't we have an hour and 15? Well, but we did this. Well, what about that? Well, can't we? We're right in the middle of, oh, come on, Mom. Well, if it's gone, it's a non-issue, you know? And so what my families tell me is, Carol, we've tried doing the one movie a week and blah, blah, blah. But then one of my family said to me, but Carol, then it became the whole focus of the whole week. That's all they thought about. That's all they talked about. And this mom of six, a very, very brilliant woman, said to me, so now we don't have movie night. We have family night. Once in a while, we might watch a movie. But normally we watch games or we bake or we go hiking or we, you know, we're in nature. So that the focus even of the week is not on that one movie. Mm-hmm. So every family has to find their own path with this.
Yeah.
But if you can get the screen out of the central room of your house,
yeah,
like a lot of families just watch a movie on a laptop so that there isn't even a screen in their home that, you know, like a TV that's sitting on, you know, like having a big screen hanging there all day is just calling you.
Yes.
Turn me on. It's like a big black hole that wants to be filled. And so replacing that screen with a bookcase. And decorating with books all over your house and all the research that proves that a child's success level in adult life is directly related to the number of books that were found in that person's childhood home. Like you're doing a child the biggest favor you can if yeah. you're surrounding them with books, if you're a reader yourself, and most importantly, if you're reading to them, you are guaranteeing their success in life. And there's so much research on it that I could talk about it for days.
Yeah. Yeah, I was listening to a podcast today and she referred to the Matthew principle, I think is what she called it. And just this, and we actually read it in our reading this evening after dinner, my family did. And it's about the whoever's given a little bit will be given more. Definitely. And that's basically what happens is that they get a little bit of words, and then their vocabulary snowballs.
That's right.
They read more, and then it creates this huge gap that cannot be bridged over time, because they've just read so many more books, and been exposed to so
and their
much
vocabulary. Yes. And I experienced this with JJ, complete strangers coming up to us in restaurants, stores, when he's a little boy going, "Where do you go to school?" And then really loud, when we're all going to go to jail in those days, and we could again. And he'd yell, "Oh, well, I'm schooled," this little 5-year-old. And I'd go, "Oh, no, let's go. We got to go. Got to go." And, because of how we judge a person's intelligence is how articulate they are.
Yeah.
And so that's why even with children who are late readers, I have, 2 children in my life right now that are late readers. And yet the words that they say, the things that they say, I'm speechless.
Yeah.
And I'm their grandmother, and I'm speechless. And it's because, they were named after theologians. I don't know if I mentioned this, Ryle and Schaefer. And my son has been reading Francis Schaefer's biography from Crossway. And so he said, "Schaefer, listen to this. This is who you were named after, she knows." And he's reading a part of it to him. And I'm thinking, "You read that book?" I mean, that is a really hard book. And he's reading it to, 8-year-old.
Yeah.
And then Schaefer came to my house and told me all about it, how Francis Schaefer and, Grammy, they threw them out of Switzerland and blah, blah, blah. And he was like telling me the story of Francis Schaefer's life. But I'm like, "Oh my word." Like people, because reading makes you smart and screens makes you dumb. And so it's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice for everybody to give up a screen, but you'll never regret it. And you will send me bouquets of flowers when your children are grown. Yeah. Thanking me, because I believe that parents will do hard things for their children.
Mm-hmm.
They really will. I had a friend that would eat junk food all the time, but then when she was pregnant, she would eat really well. And I said, what is with that? She goes, "Well, I'm doing it for my baby." I'm like, "So you do things for your child you wouldn't even do for yourself," which was, admirable, I guess, because we do things for our children. We would take a bullet for our children. So giving up screens is just a sacrifice we're going to make and be rewarded with the most delightful, innocent, pure-hearted children. And every day you're going to reap the benefit of that very small sacrifice.
JJ Side here with another great resource from our ministry partner, Crossway Books, the book Teach Me to Pray, Praying God's Word from A to Z by Kristen Weatherall, wife, mother, writer, speaker. And I've really been struck by this book. I'm thumbing through it here. Prayers from A to Z on everything from nervousness to riches to ungodliness to vanity. And as these prayers have been read aloud here in our little homeschool by the kids, as they reflect on the things that Kristen Weatherall is offering, Kristen and I have both been so encouraged by how it holds our kids' attention, how it's both accessible and deep. I'm really struck by what she's done here. I think it's very, very rich. A memory verse, a short devotion, relevant follow-up verses, and a heartfelt prayer. So you can pick up a copy of Teach Me to Pray wherever books are sold, or you can visit crossway.org/teachmetopray to learn how to get 30% off with a free Crossway Plus account. JJ Side here to talk again about our partner CTC Math. The founder, Pat Murray, is such a gifted math teacher, a dad of 10 himself. When I happen to be home and my kids are working through the material, I really enjoy hearing his voice on the teaching videos. They're short, they're concise, they're practical, they're helpful, they're fun. They get your kids quickly into the work, practicing what they've just learned. It's taken so many of the tears and the tension out of the doing of math here in the side house. And there's even a 50% discount for homeschool families. You can go to ctcmath.com to learn more.
Yeah, I would say 2 things is when children come around my house that I know some for sure are on screen, and then others I just assume. But their volume level is so different, and the way that they Mm-hmm. The like decibel level that they communicate at or talk at is so much different that it like really bothers me to hear them speak and stuff. So I feel like if there's strain in the relationship and your children are on screens, it could be because they're so hyperstimulated and they're like they're communicating in this way that they're hearing communicated, like
that's right,
frantic,
that's right,
like over the top and all this stuff. So that then it's just like, oh my goodness, why are you so loud? Or why are you, I mean, my children get loud. My children, you know, holler and hoop and everything, but it's just a
this is a buildup of, yes. And I agree with you. And I've noticed it too with anyone who does video games. So you have all this energy. Like people say to me, well, I just let them play sports games. And, you know, and like, I understand that. But you see, they're playing basketball with their thumb.
Right.
A game that is designed to be running and sweating and breaking their ankle and, you know, whatever they're going to do. Like that is like the most physical sport. And they're sitting there doing a virtual game where all this energy and all these, what's the word I'm trying to say, like endorphin, all these things are being released, hormonal things being released that are released when you play a sport, but there's no release for them.
Yeah.
And so that creates this, I can't explain it, like a bottle of champagne that's about to burst because there's no outlet for what you've unleashed as you expose them to this high drama, high energy stuff, and there's nowhere for it to go.
Right. Yeah, because all the reaction is happening. It's just then staying in the body.
That's
because
right.
Because they're not shooting the ball. They're That's not right. catching the ball. They're not dribbling the ball.
Explodes.
And
it's not their fault.
Yeah.
Because they need to be outside a lot, like 4 to 5 hours a day. And that's a whole other subject that we need to, you know, continue to just repeat over and over again.
Yeah.
Because that's the balance of it. If a child's annoying, it's probably because they've been indoors too long.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandsons said, oh no, JJ said that, what did he say? I'm much nicer to my children when I'm outdoors.
Oh yeah.
Well, the same thing. Like they're and he was talking about how houses are not designed for little boys. They're not.
Mm-hmm.
Boys are designed to be outdoors. And so when they're in their milieu, they're much nicer people. Mm-hmm. They're more likable.
Yeah.
And when they're out of their milieu, they're annoying. And whose fault is that? Is it theirs or ours?
Right. Yeah. So just my last thought on that would just, if parents can break through that point of just, can we have screen time? Can we, you know, that bartering or that asking, because then you'll break through to the other side. And that's what some of the having the screen on the wall or still having it in your house just tucked away, it's still like is there and present.
That's
and
right.
So then it still is something to argue about or to barter or to talk about, rather than just like it doesn't exist in my
That's
life.
That's right. It's a non-issue.
Yeah. I don't do that. And so it's literally my children never ask to watch anything because they wouldn't know even what to ask to watch. I mean, you know, they've seen a video of stuff, you know, it's like they might watch a video of something with daddy when they're like, oh, what is this? Or, you know, trying to understand what something is, like, what is a volcano?
Right. You know? Right.
But not let's watch. It's our screen time. Now we're going to play our games or they don't have that concept in their mind.
Yeah.
So I think if you can just break through that.
Yeah.
Difficult time, you would come to this really sweet time of it being a non-issue and them just having a childhood of playing, working together, being outside, listening to audiobooks, listening to music.
Yeah.
You know, hearing them sing and play.
I know all those things.
There's so many wonderful sounds of childhood.
Yes.
And that does not include little, you know, Mickey Mouse voices or the other character. Those are not pleasant sounds of childhood.
That's
There's
right.
lots of really truly pleasant sounds of childhood.
Or my favorite, battery operated toys.
Yeah, right.
Oh, don't even go there. Yeah.
We'll save that.
Yeah, right. But yes, quieting our spirits in a very noisy world. Mm-hmm. Quieting our spirits. You know, my favorite book, it takes place in a monastery, and I've been rereading those books now for like the fourth or fifth time, the Hawk and the Dove series by Penelope Wilcock. And just as I'm reading the books, it's even quieting my spirit to be in the monastery in the Middle Ages and just live in that peace and that rhythm and that silence. And so, so valuable to teach our children to be comfortable with silence and to love to be alone. And that's why when we talk about having feet off the ground for an hour every day, how important that is to let them to get to the point where they look forward to it and love it instead of feeling it's not a punishment. It's the high point of our day where we get to be best friends with ourselves and we develop the spiritual discipline of silence and solitude. And that is something taught. It's always historically been a core value of the church in the history of the church. But today, our churches are more like pep rallies than, you know, that quiet space, that sacred space.
You think that all kids can get to that place of that quiet hour being like their favorite thing, or that they're being still and stuff? Or is it like for children who maybe have more hyperactive situations?
Well, and then, of course, that's another conversation about diet, how much exercise they're getting, how much outdoor time they're getting. Because a child who's ready to jump out of their skin, and then you say, now feet off the ground for an hour, that's just provoking them to wrath. But if you wear them out, because you know my motto, they need to be bloody, sweaty, and dirty every day. And as they say in Finland, if they don't need a bath at the end of the day, you're not parenting them correctly. So if a child is worn out in a good way, then that's going to be, and of course, if they can read, it's harder for a child who can't read. Yeah. But once a child can read, that should be the best time of the day for them because they're in the middle of a chapter book that they can't wait to get back to.
Yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like maybe that age between no longer napping, but
that's
not
right.
reading,
that's
is
right.
kind of difficult because
it is. It is.
I mean, I've never talked to you about this. Do you let people, do you like encourage or allow like listening to something during that time?
Because if it's not going well. So in consulting, sometimes a family will say, you know, my 4-year-old is really struggling, or my 5-year-old, you know, a pre-reader, but as you said, someone who isn't falling asleep. So very often I encourage the mom to take a nap with that child. Because that is a child who won't fall asleep alone, but they will fall asleep in your arms. So put them in like a vice grip, you know, get them like a spoon. First, read a couple picture books together, rub their back, you know, whisper in their ear and fall asleep with them and tell them how tired you are. And like, oh, mommy's so tired. Oh, mommy's so tired. And they will fall asleep with you. But if they're beyond even that, then I usually say, well, get a beautiful stack of gorgeous library books that will really intrigue them with the illustration and let them look at those. But if it's just becoming a hill that is not being won, then I might say, well, then let them listen quietly to a book on tape. But as soon as they can read, I'd pull that and I would explain it to them. This is our time to pray, sleep, read, or think. So now that you can read, you have some options, but listening to an audiobook is something we do at other times of day. But we don't do this during our quiet time because mommy wants you to love books and love reading them for yourself. And this is when our whole family gets to read.
Yeah.
And then they see you doing it too. You know, so you're in your room reading. And it's the best part of the day. You keep saying that. This is the magical hour. You know, I can't wait. It's almost time for our quiet hour. I can't wait because it's mommy's favorite part of the day too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I don't want them to hate it, you know? So if just becomes a disciplinary action every 5 minutes of that hour, that's not pleasurable for anyone.
No.
So we want to set our kids up to succeed, not to fail.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And some children seem to have more trouble with it than others.
Anyone I know personally? We won't mention any names, but no. I understand that. I understand that. Yeah. It'll work itself out. But if listening to a book on tape is a temporary fix for that, I have no problem with doing that for a year or two until they cross into that next territory of being able to really, you know, even looking at books that they've memorized can be really great. You know, a picture book that they love so much and look at over and over again. But if it's just becoming a hill to die on, don't make it. I want them to like that time of day.
Yeah.
We want to listen to the Holy Spirit for each child, for each year, and we custom make the suit. And we don't want to have any false god that, you know, our child has to represent us or make us look good, or, you know, we want to just be like the bamboo that bends with the wind and being flexible. You know, Pastor Chuck used to say, blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be broken. And so as you study your children, you know that this isn't fair. I'm asking a child to do something they're not capable of doing. That's not fair. And then they get disciplined for it. That's really unfair, because you're disciplining them for being childish. They're not being rebellious. It's just they're being 5 years old, you know, and that's not fair to get in trouble for knocking your milk over because you're clumsy when you're five. You're not intentionally knocking your milk over, you know. So families always ask me, well, when do we discipline? It's like, well, when it's willful disobedience, where they look you in your eye and say, I don't care what you say, I'm doing it, and what are you going to do about it? That's clear. That's willful disobedience. But when they just innocently do something because they're young and immature and unable to control themselves because they're childlike, that's not sin. That's just, they're just little, and they need our grace until they get old, when they won't get away with that very thing that they get away with when they're little.
Right. And maybe it lasts longer than we
would like. Yeah. Well, we had a golden retriever and she was a puppy till she was practically like 12, you know. So, some children are eternally puppies.
Yeah.
And that's okay, because they grow up to be youth leaders in churches. You know, they have that fun personality and that excitement. And sometimes it is annoying, but in the right environment, it's a gift.
Yeah.
So we don't want to quench their joy
and
their enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm.
True. So I think, do we cover all your questions?
Yep. You answered them.
All right. Well, it has been so fun to be with you, Rachel. And thank you, listeners, for joining us.
You've been listening to the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. If you like what you heard in this episode, please leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or share this episode with a friend. It means so much when you help us spread the message of Homeschool Made Simple with others. Thanks for joining us this week on the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. Remember, Jesus' commandments are not burdensome. What he calls you to do, he will enable you to do. Blessings.